This 1UP podcast is brought to you by Dell. Visit dell.com/gaming for all your gaming needs. From high-end PCs to consoles, games, and accessories, Dell has what you need for gaming. Dell. Go play.
It's cold, I'm wondering why I logged on to Steam at all. Hover around, won't reach the window, and always seems to stall. Even if it worked, I would probably stay, 'cause your picture on my wall, it reminds me that it's not so bad. It's not so bad. It's cold, I'm wondering why I logged on to Steam at all. Hover around, won't reach the window, and always seems to stall. Even if it worked, I would probably stay, 'cause your picture on my wall, it reminds me that it's not so bad. It's not so bad.
Dear Sean, I PM'd, you still ain't responding. I left my blog, MySpace page, and AIM name at the bottom. I posted twice back in autumn, you must not have saw 'em. Your problem is a problem with the server or something. Sometimes I type URLs too sloppy when I jot them. But anyways, fuck it. What's been up? How's your healer? My guild's good too. I'm about to be the leader. If I roll a healer, what spells I need for? I'm a game with hotkeys. I heard about your briefing ban in the GM Nazis. See, I had a friend kill his alt over some NPC who didn't want him. I know you probably hear this every day, but I'm your biggest fan. I even got the podcast skit you did with EGM. I pressed print screen on your post and your pictures, man. I like the shit you did on 1UP 2. That Nihon shit was scat. Anyways, I hope you get this in Cali. Hit me back just to chat. Truly yours, your biggest mouthpiece. This is Ralphie.
Pop, pop, it's cold. I'm wondering why I logged on to Steam at all. Hover around, won't reach the window.
Dear Sean, you still ain't clicked add. I hope it's in your plans. I ain't mad, I just think it's fucked up you make fun of fans. This week you weren't talking to me in TeamSpeak. Not that I need you. No, you didn't have to TK and teabag top of Pichu. That's my screen name, man. This is more than a hobby. I waited in the Habbo Hotel lobby for you 4 hours and you just said no vacancy. That's pretty menstrual, man. What did you need, a my doll? I need support, I played support and resupplied you. I ain't that sad though. If you were me, you'd have cried too. Remember when we met in Monster? You said if I'd revive you, you might invite me? See, I'm just like you in a way. I never lived alone neither. Grandma buses me to the theater in her beater. And nothing's neater than the issue spit in your podcast. Ever the outcast, I tattooed your byline on the skyline of my fat ass. You gotta hit me, man. I'll be the hippest fan you'll ever lose. Sincerely yours, Ralphie. P.S. We should grief together, too.
Pop, pop, it's cold. I'm wondering why I logged on to Steam at all. Hover around, won't reach the window, and always seems to stall. Even if it worked, I would probably stay, 'cause your picture on my wall, it reminds me that it's not so bad. It's not so bad.
Dear mister, I'm too good to go to Sizzler with my sister. This'll be the last Twitter you get from a listener. It's been 6 seconds and still no word. I don't deserve it. I know you're able. My cable connection's working perfect. So this is me, a live voice. I hope you hear it. I'm in burnout now on the byway doing 50. I drive automatic because I had it with shifting. Hey, Sean, I drank a fifth of prune juice. You dare me to fart? Now it's too late. I'm on 10K OPEC date, so spectate. Shit. All I wanted was a rapper signed in fire sauce. I hope you know I hate liars. You lie lots. I love you, Sean. We might have made music. Think about it. You ruined it now. I hope you lag and can't frag without it. And when you can't frag, I hope you lag and can't brag about it. I hope your stats are whack and you can't do jack about it.
Hey, I'm
See, Sean? Like shut shit. Up, bitch. It's only more gas. Hey, Sean, that's my grandma screaming that we're lower class. The bag's gagging and nagging. See, I just tore ass. Because if we suffocate, we'll suffer more. And then we'll die, slow or fast. Well, I gotta go. I've almost passed the last blast. Oh, shit, I forgot. How am I supposed to send this shit out?
Hello, and welcome to the GFW Radio Podcast. This is the podcast for July 3rd, 2007, one day before our glorious birthday here in America. Happy birthday, everyone. Happy birthday, America.
Just suck some helium?
Yeah. A little punchy. Got a lot to do today. Here with the usual gang, including to my left, podcast whore...
Ryan Scott.
Celeb.
I'm here. I'm Sean Elliott.
Darren Gladstone.
And Sean Malloy.
Ryan Scott, you're on three podcasts this week. What's up with you? You're wacky.
Well, this is the first of the three, so I don't quite know yet.
Yeah.
Back to back. Retronauts coming back. Recidivism. And then...
and Legendary Thread.
Right, so Ryan Scott fans, pay attention to Legendary Thread and Retronauts. For more Ryan Scott goodness coming your
Don't ever
way.
Say anything good.
Yeah, seriously. I was about to lambast you for that, man.
We were going to get back into it, but meat, meaty, and any variation of that was going to be the banned word of the day.
Right. No meat and potatoes.
We'll hear about that later, but let's just add anything goodness.
Okay.
Meaty goodness.
Banned.
Done. Oh.
Meaty goodness, especially gaming goodness. But any
gaming goodness is right out. Yeah.
So there's no Ryan goodness.
Among the things we are going to talk about. Finally, I think we could talk about Fallout 3.
Yay!
That was the mystery RPG that Darren went to see a couple weeks ago that all but the dumb, very dumb people didn't get.
We pretty much clubbed them over the head with that.
Considering we actually used the word Fallout in the sentence.
And people continue to debate.
It's got to be Ultima!
Yeah, there was some debate.
Yeah, so yes, Darren went to Bethesda to see Fallout 3 a little while ago with Joe Rubicki. Formerly of OPM, so he's going to talk about that. We have some interesting news from the EVE Online community.
Didn't you bitches finally play Quake Wars so we can have a discussion about it instead of a monologue?
Who are you calling bitch?
Both of you two.
Yeah, I played, but not much. Okay. We could talk about it a little bit.
And
I enjoyed it after you gave me a little tour, Sean.
Insurgency mod for Source just came out.
How is
I played that last night. We'll get to that.
Oh,
and then Hyper Bowl, another pajama programmer game that looks to be really cool.
And we have really some sad news in the MMO front, which we'll get to later. We have a little eulogy.
Maybe we should just drop that now, since we were already talking about Legendary Thread, and we have to ask Ryan what the hell he's doing playing Warcraft again.
So you want to get the eulogy out of the way? It's kind of a bummer note to start.
Let's start off on that.
Let's get it out of the way. Yeah.
All right. Okay, we're going to pay our respects today, July 3rd. To Auto Assault, may it rest in peace. I'll read the announcement from autoassault.com.
I was going to give it to Slew, but I was like, what would it be?
We do a mariachi salute there?
More like taps.
Well, because it's, it's called vehicular. Right. I'm trying to think of like a car horn.
You want to do taps behind me while I...
No, but it's got... No one plays taps on their car. You do hear like cucaracha out of your car, though.
Yeah, yeah, La Cucaracha.
Yeah, there
I'm just going to say it. Okay. Mingo, we hardly knew you.
Anyway, today NCSoft is announcing that it will be closing down service for Auto Assault at the end of the summer. The service will close at midnight on August 31st, 2007. As of today, actually that was yesterday, it was July 2nd when they announced this. As of today, any player currently in the service with an active build account will not be billed again. Blah, blah, blah. There will be more announcements coming soon regarding the shutdown of Auto Assault. I don't know what more they need to announce.
Right.
We're still shutting down.
Let's go into the donation to donating it to where, there's like a picture of a cat telling you to donate your car. You don't know what they do with scrap metal.
That's the news. But my question is, just how badly does your MMO have to fail to actually have it shut down? I mean, most of these
MMOs. How long will that have been? August 30th.
A couple months. It was, I think, April 2006. Mm. But think of the MMOs that still exist that completely tanked that are actually still running. like Matrix Online for one.
And we're only bringing this up because, like, those of us who played it insist that it was fun.
It was a fun game.
I still think the combat and the moment-to-moment gameplay, I had more fun with that than I do with Lord of the Rings Online.
I think the big problem for a lot of people was the expectation that this was going to be more of a Car Wars kind of MMO, where actually, you know, the driving experience was going to play into the gameplay more. I mean, the fact that you couldn't even really use a steering wheel, I believe, for this game. You know, a lot of people were calling it EQ with a car skin.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, right. There were cars that healed in this game.
They weren't just a skin, though, you know?
Well, look, if you can wrap your head
around some, like, douchebag standing on the hill singing to you to heal you as you fight, you could fucking
deal with a
car that's got, like,
In no universe do cars heal, but in some fantasy universes, bards do heal.
In the fantasy universe of Auto Assault.
That's realism.
That's stupid tautology.
Hey, in Knight Rider, the car could fix itself. That was real.
You're right. Damn it, you got me.
Nanites, everyone. Nanites.
There's people in the cars. You can get out of your cars at various points in the game.
Yeah.
But you don't care. Just like,
and neither did any gamers.
Wow. I cared. Wow. Like, you know, even the general, like, you know, what we were just talking about, the general thing of, like, if instead of, you know, mining and stuff, it's more fun to, like, run through a settlement with a bunch of fools running around and just run through their shitty housing.
Why didn't you keep playing it?
Because there's no one else playing it. It might have well just been, like, a co-op game. It was me and my friend Rory, and we're always just going in there. Like, and from the first week that we were playing it, we were already talking about, like, you know, the end of the world's in store for us all, and, you know, in the wastelands, and how long. And people were already, the very first, you know, week that it came out, people were asking, I wonder if they're going to comp us toward Tabula Rasa. I wonder if they're going to comp us toward whatever. It was like, what's going to happen? Because I paid 3 months. But they were worried because they paid for 3 months of subscription. It was going to last for 3 months.
That was a year ago.
Right.
That's sad.
How long was it before they condensed all the servers into one?
Oh, that wasn't
that
long
was pretty
at all.
Fast.
Mm-hmm. It's just amazing to me. They don't even have enough to make it. You know, to justify just keeping the servers, to keep one server running. There's rumors now that maybe, and they're just rumors, so this has no basis in any fact, that, like, the NetDevil or someone will pick it up and just run a server for those dedicated fans.
Or someone else will leave some kind of
shard open or something.
Right, and maybe for NCSoft it's not worth it, but maybe NetDevil, the developers, or someone else can pick it up and just run it.
It's a cutthroat business. That's why when we were talking about, you know, the agency recently announced SOE MMO with the spy theme, it's like, dude, if an already proven fun and cool game couldn't succeed, it's just, people don't want anything but the damn singing at the people that are fighting.
I think this is a part of a larger thing, but I mean, maybe people weren't ready, and are they ready yet for an action MMO? I mean, it's something we have to pay a monthly fee for, is what it comes down to.
It's going to take someone making a great one, like a great developer making a great one. And I mean, duh. It's going to take a shitty developer making a shitty one. I mean,
I'm not. Way to take a stand there,
Jeff.
Yeah,
way to take a stand. What this genre needs is a good game from a good developer. But you know what I mean? Like,
I'm gonna hire you as an analyst.
In my expert opinion. So, I mean, it's going to take like a Blizzard-level developer to just say, okay, fuck this shit. We're going to make one that actually works, that looks great, that runs on, you know, not on the highest end system, like a Vanguard type thing.
Auto Assault doesn't need to run on too high end of a system.
It just needed players.
I think
if they kind of dropped the whole notion of a monthly fee or have, like, you know, paid for, like, unique content, they might have gotten some more people into it, because that's the model that seems to work in Asia.
Yeah,
it's worse for Habbo Hotel. Still.
I don't know. And sure. I don't think even don't a good, even a good, I mean, because like I already said, the quality was fine on this. I had a great time playing it. I just don't think that mattered. There's just some like mysterious variable, and it's like, it's just not
elves.
Not, people don't want it. But yeah, now that we know.
The niche of dance emotes is that they wanted to quest with cars just to get two audiences that don't cross over very much.
Maybe.
Because I'm just like, cars, Really? I'm in the, like, I like
more trials could have helped hill. Because I wasn't like, oh shit, you know, I get to be a car, I'm going to get me some of this. Right. It was like I had the game for free, so yeah. I was like, oh, I'll try it. Right. And then that's when I was like, this is actually pretty cool.
I think they have the problem of people even, you know, going to get it.
Someone on Corda 3 posted, you know your game's in trouble when even the collector's edition is selling for $5 at EB Games.
Now that we know the day, the date and the hour of the end of the world.
Oh, true. Oh,
wow. I want to get in there. Let's all get in there and do
rev our engines.
Get in there.
at the 12th hour.
But say it looks like, you know.
It's right off into the sunset.
20 minutes to 0 hour. You go in there and just start saying like, hey, I've been waiting to get this. I haven't had money. I just got it at Half Price Books. They had it for $2.99. what do I do? This is awesome. And just go around, you know, like just, I can see myself spending a lot of time in this motherfucker. Hook me up and let him tell you this guy's falling. And then just say, are you guys role players? This is stupid. Shut up.
They're all parked on this cliff looking at the sunset.
Yeah, excuse me.
We go sailing off the cliff. You know? We just die in
like Thelma and Louise style?
They pull it as we're, freeze framed.
It is a rare moment that you don't really see very often is the end of a world.
Yeah. Right, like Asheron's Call 2, right?
So that was the last one.
Yeah.
Right.
So I say close to them. We need to try to mobilize as many listeners as possible to just join us on the server and just kind of like stare at the sunset.
It'll cost you $5, apparently.
Right.
And then enough people buy it.
Wait a minute, we're
not going to stop it now.
Oh, let's be there live online for the Auto Assault funeral.
Let's conduct our podcast live
from inside Auto Assault.
From the death of Auto Assault.
We're going out, and then it just ends.
Nice.
Pull the plug on our shit.
So we have, when was that? August 31st?
August 30th.
Mark the calendars.
Midnight.
August
31st
at midnight.
Midnight what? Pacific?
I don't know. We'll check. Yeah, that's an important point. But we got a little bit of time to get it together.
That would be the worst.
We all need to activate our accounts, us here in the studio and all you listening.
Okay, so we'll do that.
All right, and we'll report back on the exact time.
So what are we playing at the moment? We know what we're playing at the end of the month.
Sean Malloy?
Started playing Enemy Territory Quake Wars a bit. Not to the extent you've played it, but I started.
Okay.
I was digging it.
It's a start.
It is a start.
What about you, Jeff?
Me too. Yeah. We can merge into that conversation.
Well, what do you guys think? Have you just turned it on?
No, I played around. I mostly played around with the soldier classes, like the pretty basic ones, even though like the ones I know I will probably end up playing are the engineer-y types.
Yeah.
So maybe a support
class.
That's
what I like to. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather do the support. Even like watching other. Mostly I did so like I wouldn't be asked to do things and not know how to do them, so I wanted to kind of get a feel for like what all.
No,
guys
no,
are
ask
doing.
You to do anything.
No,
that's part of the problem.
Yeah, that's quickly what happened.
Getting the good luck of being on a team that knows what they're doing, especially if you're on Strog, which is it's not always that way, but in the map sewer that's available in the beta, Strog are on defense, and the defending team always has to have players that have their shit together, or you'll just get rolled, and you'll be back to the loading screen in like no time.
And it does seem, at least the servers I was on, that at this point in the beta, there weren't enough people knowing exactly what to do.
That was just the server you got. Because there are already clans. There are tons of clans in there with their tags, and you'll run into the entire group.
It seems like when you're on those servers, it's going to be super fun when people know their roles and are using them.
Even the first phase, if Strog at least have a few engineers, although they're not called engineers,
they're called constructors.
If you have a few of those, and you get at least one anti-personnel turret up, one anti-vehicle turret up, and then your laser shield to protect your the area where they're trying to build the EMP disruptor. If you could protect yourself from artillery strikes and stuff, and you get that up, and then the three that do that, as long as they're smart enough to at least repair them now and then for one another, then you can do a big delaying action just at that point. But what happens a lot of time is you'll lose that because no one did anything, and then when they're you're working on defending the sewer grates and then ultimately the sewer controls. You still have guys out in the field doing whatever. I'm going to go up into the mountain on the Icarus and hop around. Maybe I could snipe someone. It's like, meanwhile, everyone on GDF is like busting through your crap and blowing the gates out.
Actually, I couldn't figure out how to spawn into the body of someone else. Is that like an option when...
You just press F. It has to be converted. What happens is the equivalent of the technician, the equivalent of the Strog, the medic, will go and turn the body.
Yeah, I've seen the bodies and I've seen it happen.
So when it's there, it will also appear on your map with an Ankh icon, and you'll hear an audio cue saying, corpse spawn host available.
Right.
So you go up to it, you just look at it and press F. Now, it'll then either queue it up and you'll see an icon in the bottom of your right-hand corner of your screen, or It'll say spawn host already claimed, and that means someone else got to it first, so you go find yourself another
one.
Okay,
so there's one person. Maybe that was just what was going on. That's the kind of stuff that I, that's why I was trying to pick the most basic class, because there's just so many nuances.
Yeah, there's a big learning curve in this game. I mean, really, it took... I was dorking around in the, but when you, Sean, came over and sort of walked me through a couple of the classes, that made a big difference. But, you know, the average gamer is not going to have Sean Elliott standing behind them giving them a tutorial of the game.
Yeah.
You know, there really was a lot to learn in that.
Yeah, it's, but you could just go through your kit first, you know. I mean, especially Sean started Soldier class, which is basically it's entirely self-explanatory with maybe possible exception of the plasma charges.
I just hope that the actual retail game has a good tutorial where they walk people through these classes.
As I've been understanding from the very beginning, they're going to like kind of like have the server is going to kind of tell you know, give you class sensitive tips. So it kind of slowly kind of ramp up and introduce you to all the concepts.
Actually, it does a little in the game already.
You'd be surprised how general those are and how like say the difference is in Battlefield. We call the guy Grandpa Witherspoon, and that's the old man who does the audio tooltips, you know?
Yeah.
And in that game...
Those are better,
No, but we start despising him. We're like, you know, every time we'd erase the game and reinstall it on another computer just because I need space in my hard drive, and a Grandpa would come back, and I'm like, dude, I've got like... At this point, I got like 900 hours in the game. I don't need you fucking old ass telling me how to get in the vehicle.
And
then we realized when we're playing... Quake Wars, I got in the Tormentor. It's a Strog Flyer. And I found out that you have, they call it a top hat control, where you're able to hold a button and you can, even if you're the pilot, you can then independently move your crosshairs for your rockets. And then in addition, that it has countermeasures. And neither of which I had no idea, you know. And so I was like, dude, we could use old Grandpa Witherspoon after all, you know.
Yeah,
I actually couldn't believe I was wanting
Grandpa
Witherspoon.
Yeah, there's not really enough explanation. It's a beta. It's way early.
Yeah, who knows?
There just needs to be more information given to new players.
Right.
Because those roles are so crucial. This isn't it's so not random. I mean, you need everybody on that team to get these goals done.
However, I think it is a game where you can and this will actually tie in nicely to the other game I mentioned, Hyper Bowl. But it's the kind of game where even if you're not familiar with it, you can just jump in and you'll still get some kills because you're like, hey, I know what a railgun is and I know what you do with it. And like I'm still doing something. Whereas like Hyper Bowl, which I won't talk about thoroughly right now, but is entirely new in concept and execution and all this stuff. And it's kind of intimidating when I'm like, hey, do I want to go play this right now or do I want to just play Quake Wars? And it's like, well, I expect to go into Hyper Bowl and just get my ass handed to me and have it be confusing and maybe I need to go practice more. But like Quake, I'm like, yeah, even if I don't know every nuance and subtlety, I can still get in a tank and I know that if I get the shell on someone, it's going to...
Yeah, totally.
Right. What I liked about being the constructor, and I really got into it after you showed me how to do it, was... not just that I was getting to do things like build things, but that those actions, well, first of all, that they were counting towards the mission goals, which is cool, like you're saying, or they helped win the mission goals.
And they give huge XP too.
But also, you're right. And I was getting like my frag count was going up. I was like, wow, this is like camping.
Yeah.
Because I would build a turret.
You don't have to be there.
I could build a turret in a remote, in a sort of intelligent place where people couldn't see it right away.
And you're getting
and
points
people
every
getting
time
fragged.
You repair it. You know, you repair your friends. So you can have. I mean, in fact, the top scoring people are usually one of the specialist classes, not the soldiers, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, like even if you build the defense barrier, every time that's stopping, you know, an individual, you know, rocket or, you know, artillery or anything, you're getting XP for every single one of those that stops.
Yeah, they did a really nice job of, and I don't know if this is true or not because I didn't play Battlefield enough. And when I did play it, and I'm talking about the original 42, I always wanted to just be like a foot soldier. But like, I never was that inspired to want to be like a medic or the support class because I didn't want to just like be support, like just be helping the other people who are actually playing the game.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like to me, even if that's not true.
Whereas I don't get that impression.
Whereas in Quake Wars, I don't at all.
Because
it seems like the roles are more equal.
And they know that from the beginning. They're like the whole, you know, mission statement, you know, when we talked to Paul Wedgwood, you know, from Splash Damage and stuff, is that you can only trust people's motivation to be selfish. So if you ever want someone to do something that's altruistic, you have to ultimately hang
a
selfish
reason,
motivation
to
it. So medic, hey, you're the first one to claim. You make a spawn host, you're going to be the first one to take it.
Yeah.
The other ones that you get XP from are for the rest of the team, right? An engineer, I'm doing this so I can get a shitload of XP for myself. And so, You know, and the kit's good nonetheless. The nail gun's great that it comes with. The other, you know, it's still a good classic. You heal yourself, rearm yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's why there's no commander, too. You know, it's like they're just like just everyone count. I mean, it's just a given. We've watched other, you know, this is speaking from their point of view. We've watched other games try it and try to assume that outside of a clan in an artificial clan environment where you've got people with designated roles, people will act in the interest of everyone on their team, but they don't. So it's like if we want that, we got to find a way to incentivize it by incentivizing individual actions that ultimately help the team.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's working really well.
Yeah.
Absolutely smart.
Yeah, I mean, so far, I'd say we have universal positive impressions here at GFW. For
now we just need more maps.
Need more maps.
I played the hell out of Sewer. I played so many hours on that already.
So it's just Sewer, right?
Or that's all there is so far,
Stinky Sewer. Yeah.
But it's a good start. Real good start.
Yeah.
So,
thumbs up.
Yeah.
Hey.
Do you want to segue into Hyperbole?
I could do that real quick, and then we'll go to Fallout.
Okay. Well, I mean, actually, I did want to like throw in one game. Quick point about stuff, but Hyperbole. Hit it.
Say what you're saying.
Okay, fine. I'll hit another kind of ball, baseball. So I was reading Zuniga's awesome PC sports story, and I got to thinking about this. So I'm like, where the hell is it? Like, in the office, even before my time, there was like, everyone was playing high heat baseball. There were tournaments in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like wondering lately, why the hell isn't there a baseball game for the PC? And I was hanging out with a buddy. And I was playing the bigs on the consoles.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That's a really good baseball game. And you know what? I don't know if this is, I think Zuniga mentioned this in the story. There's rumors that 2K might be bringing that back to the PC at some point.
Part of it, I think you answered your own question, though. You were hanging out with a buddy and playing the bigs, and that's like a perfect console experience.
Yeah. So was high heat baseball, and that was a PC game.
Trying to imagine that. People were hanging around, like, let me up. I'm playing
network tournaments here, right?
No, it wasn't even network. It was like sitting in front of the same computer.
I thought the bigs was like the herbs or something. I thought it was some random sim game.
Yeah. What is this baseball?
It's like giants.
But I guess I'm just like the bigs. I guess as I started playing that this past weekend, I was thinking to myself, damn it, where are all the good sports games?
We had that story perfectly timed.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, like as I was reading like the Zuniga story, I'm like, god damn it, he's right. I want to see some of this shit back on the PC.
Yeah.
So
be good to see.
Yeah, baseball is like one of the games that seems like for sports does make sense on the PC. Like, especially if you're not playing it as an action game. If you're doing it as, like, a baseball management sim or something. Yeah, and those games do exist.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't want to play a freaking sim. I don't care about, like, all the dirty stats. I mean, I want to be able to, like, swing a bat or stuff, too.
Well, that's what your Xbox is for.
Guess I'm going to a console. All right.
You've got that.
Wii is for. That's
got
right.
MMO baseball, you know? I mean, that's the other.
Yeah, that's true.
Baseball online.
And just, MMOs in the sense that every person on your team is controlled by a player.
Yeah, true.
Unfortunately, in baseball, that means a lot of time in the box. But
I don't understand about that baseball online, frankly.
What do you have? I really want to be a left fielder.
Yeah, maybe it's a little MMO mentality. 90% of the game is just bullshitting with people, so it doesn't matter if you're sitting in the box.
So you can just be sitting out there in
the right field. Exactly. I was just sitting there.
Right.
Exactly. How's it going out there, Green?
I'm going to count those blades.
Did you guys see Family Guy last night?
I'm going to count those blades of grass in the outfield.
Yeah. And we'll just have like the normal like sports debate you'd already be having.
But you normally don't pay $15 a month to be sitting in right field. I'd be wondering where my subscription money was going.
Is it subscription based?
I don't think.
I thought it was free.
Oh, is it free?
Uh-huh. I don't know.
Well, that makes sense.
Because no one's going to pay $15 a month to sit in right field.
The last baseball game I played was Tommy Lasorda for my Genesis.
That
tells you how much baseball games I play.
I just got to thinking about it because like the All-Star Games in San Francisco next week and all that. So anyway, that was it.
It's weird. Those games, like, quick, try not to derail too much, but like Tommy Lasorda, I used to play that. But I was thinking like up until PlayStation 2, I'd even play Madden and I'd get all the sports games. And eventually I was like, but I've never really been into them, into real sports, you know?
Right.
It was more fun playing them.
I got the Madden games too.
But it's interesting because... You know, when it was like Tommy Lasorda, or when it was just called like baseball or soccer for Nintendo or something, they're really like anyone can get. Let's just get it and play it, you know. And for some reason, it just seemed accessible.
Yeah,
like this is. It doesn't matter if I'm, you know, following the stats of every player or play fantasy baseball. Right. I can just get in and then fuck with everyone by playing pickle on every single time I hit base. You know,
even in baseball, you're griefing.
Well, that was how I always play like that game. It was just all I would. It would just be all about playing pickle.
Actually, but, is there any game that you haven't griefed in? I'd be kind of
probably not. But now, but I was thinking nowadays, it's like it just gets intimidating. There's like a billion different, you know, catchphrases for the types of passing and every other thing. And then I'm like, eh, it's probably, you know, I was wondering, I was like, why haven't, I haven't picked up Madden in so long now. I haven't picked it up for this generation. I was like, I guess like at that point, the better and the higher fidelity at some point, it's just like, it just seems like it's more just for the specialists, you know?
I agree with that.
Yep.
Have some monsters playing football and I'll be into it.
How about Mario Golf?
Dude.
Hey, Mario Golf.
I think
awesome.
We had this discussion. I know. Like,
we had it.
Mario Golf rules.
You want like Mutant League football or something?
Yeah.
Nice.
I think we're retreating. Or Blood Bowl.
Anyway, okay, sorry.
There's a problem with that. I could reset here because I messed it up on the. We were taping something on the one up show segment, and I was trying to say that like it's impossible to find a Nintendo fan who's disappointed because, you know, the argument was like, well, can Nintendo. I mean, what are they going to do to keep their fans happy and stuff? Like, whatever, you know. I was like, dude, there's no way to disappoint a Nintendo fan. It's kind of like taking your mom to Krispy Kreme and like finding a donut that she's not going to eat, you know. And anyway, that's what it was, and I messed it up there.
I was thinking my mom doesn't like donuts. That screws up that hope.
Yeah, my mom don't wear purple. Sorry.
Hyperball.
Hyperball.
Hyperball
is. Another,
hyperbol or hyperball?
It's B-O-L.
B-O-L, right? Like you, like Uwe.
B-O-L?
Uwe.
Oh, wow.
So, and what's the full name of the game, Ryan? It's ridiculous. Something Threadspace. Threadspace colon hyperball.
Threadspace, I think, is the
No, that's actually the name of the game, I think. But anyway, it's four guys. Atari's going to publish it, but there's a free stress test beta out now. And you get it through Steam. You can find it just by, you know, putting hyperball. That's, you know, with the BOL, as we explained, in your search engine, and you'll find it right away. But the reason you want to check this game out is because if you like, you know, some of the very best stuff about what's the group that makes Uplink, Darwinia,
Introversion.
Like if you like their stuff, it's kind of got that vibe. But the thing about this game is you're basically a spaceship on, you know, on a small panel, and other players come in and they have a spaceship, and then they can create. This extra little satellite that helps them generate additional weapons and things like that. Then it might be structured as like a maze or something with turrets. And so think really simple. It would be like an Xbox Live game, right?
Okay.
But then from there, it's hard to describe. I mean, similar to Worms, people want to make the comparison to Worms in that so much of it's about the randomness of, okay, the wind is going like 4 knots this direction. What's going to happen when I shoot a rocket at this angle? You know, so you're able to actually, you know, hook things around and hit targets that you don't have a line of sight on. So you have all these weapons and you can apply spin and curve to them, you know, or at any point in their trajectory, you know, say shoot a rocket and then you put like 40% right curve on it. And then you like activate that after it's been flying for a few feet and you're trying to basically get around defenses and hit another player. Then it gets really insane because you have, you know, all these other weapons and powers that you use. So you can create a vortex somewhere, and then that's going to maybe absorb shots or spin them off in another direction. You have things that will blow up and then apply additional like kinetic force to whatever they hit. So say someone keeps trying to hit you with nukes, then you blow that up and you can send it off in another direction to hit another player. And then people are really, and this happens in real time instead of like, you know, so imagine if you're playing Worms in real time, but you even had like a dozen more options that are there. And then there's a lot more skill-based stuff where you're setting up reflective walls and ricocheting crap off there, moving your ship now and then to avoid fire, doing offensive and defensive stuff. But you really should check it out. I'm just seeing, you know, it's difficult to explain.
Sounds like Worms for nerds.
But no, it's
who was Worms?
You got me there. No, but it's pretty cool. You should definitely check it out. It's intimidating. It's
nerds.
Got an excellent tutorial though. It'll walk you through everything.
Really?
Okay.
But when you go online, it's just there are some people that will be pulling off some amazing. You know, it's like equivalent of pool sharks. You know, people are just pulling off amazing ricochets, and they got their trajectories worked out. And
that's cool.
Really good intuitive grasp for where the shots are going to be placed. But Yeah, that's, definitely.
That's kind of the hole in my my gaming spectrum right now is the little Darwinia kind of game.
Yeah, so I think you'll like it. And again, playing it, I always get mad and go on this exact same, you know, rant. But in our offices, you know, outside of us, you know, there's all these people who just love and champion this kind of game. You know, Mark McDonald's always talking about the latest thing on Xbox Live or on the PS3 network, and I see him playing all these things, and it's like, hopefully it comes to life, because then it'll be funny. We'll be like, yeah, I told you so. You know, I remember trying to tell you to play that like 6 months ago or something. But yeah, I think a lot of people, once you try it, you're going to be like, oh, this is cool. This will spread around.
Well, certain
like, gaming age listeners can help out their championing.
So certain PC games of the Scalper do cross over. Like, I mean, basically everybody was playing Peggle, right? I mean, everybody got on that.
Yeah.
So some of these casual PC games.
Has that come to live yet?
No, I don't think so. Peggle? No.
No.
Actually, you know, it will, and it'll be hilarious because we'll hear all over again about how, you know, crazy crack it is. And
yeah, then we could be like people who were like, I was into that band before they were cool.
Exactly.
Oh, you like them now?
But it's not even that. It's more the case of like, I was telling you for 5 years to listen to this band.
Yeah.
So it's not that I'm saying I listened to it before you. It's saying, why the fuck didn't you listen to me? Try it. You know, you didn't. You don't need like some expensive video card for it.
Goddamn right.
Yeah.
Assholes. when was the last time you got an invite from anyone in Ziff Davis to play a PC game? Ever. There wasn't a last time. There was never one time.
That's because they all have Macs.
No, it's because they all play on the console.
Well,
rage, man. Actually, it's coming out. The surface.
You know, there is actually one, now that I'm thinking about it, there is one I told you so I just was reading about. So there's this freeware game out there called Da Blob, which is basically, it's like kind of like Mario Sunshine-ish kind of game.
Yeah, I remember that.
Da Blob. I mean, we wrote it up in Freeloader and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a 101 Free Games thing. And it's coming, they're actually, it was college students who designed it, and now it's going to be on the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's one of those things now where like, everyone's gonna like all of a sudden say, "Hey, look at this great game!" and like, "Hi, free right now."
That's the thing, dude. So it just that means it went from being a 7-Eleven donut that's been sitting in that case for weeks to a Krispy Kreme.
It's
the same donut. They just took it out of that shitty case.
They swapped the cases.
Put it in.
Now it's a Krispy Kreme.
Poof!
You got a donut analogy thing going this week.
I do.
Yeah, I guess it's better than meat, right? We banned meat from the podcast, so.
Which we'll get.
And we're still not ready for that because it's basically the hero of the web is going to reveal that. So
right,
it'll reveal itself.
The secret meat item.
Let's hear from Darren about Fallout and just remind me to say something about Insurgency because that's actually pretty cool and there's some stuff about that.
Okay,
right. So Darren visited Bethesda Software in Bethesda, Maryland.
Yes, yes.
Check out Fallout 3.
And here's his report.
Hi. Well, okay, so there's a couple ways I can break this down. I can literally just walk you through the whole thing that I saw, which was, I mean, it was pretty much a slice of a level, or at least not a level, but like kind of like a good, like the intro game.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives a pretty good indication of where they plan on taking it.
Did you get to do character creation or any of that stuff?
Well, they kind of, it's kind of an evolving process, and I'll get to that. But the one thing before I even get into it, I got to say is, I came in with, you know, a certain, like obviously optimistic, but there's always that skepticism, like, could they carry off the subtle humor? Could they do the irony, you know, that I really loved about the first game?
Mm-hmm.
So to answer that question, yes, they did, and they actually did a really smart job with it. So I'll just walk through this whole thing. So basically the game starts off, and they wanted to convey that you're spending your entire life in this vault for like your first 19 years of life. So those 19 years are compressed into an hour worth of tutorials, I guess.
When does this take place in relation to Fallout 2?
Sure, absolutely. So this takes place 30 years after Fallout 2, but on the East Coast around Washington D.C. area.
Okay.
So basically you're out of the you're not in the desert, you're a whole other thing, and it totally disavows all knowledge of Fallout tactics ever happening. And the god awful the console game Brotherhood of Steel, the one that Sean likes referencing for all the scorpion slaying.
That's where that shit is. The first mission of that game, the first dungeon is to kill 75 scorpions.
Seriously,
and when you do that, you can't find like the last four. And then when you find them, lo and behold, the boss is a fucking giant scorpion.
And then the next level,
dude, let me out of this warehouse, and it's more, even more scorpions.
So when I first mentioned Fallout to you, I think you're because that was your only exposure to Fallout series, right?
Yeah.
So like,
oh, God.
So when I said Fallout to him, he's like, oh, God, no.
Sorry.
Paul Burns, you didn't play Fallout 1 and 2? You just played?
Always talked about it. And when we reviewed that one, he was like, you got to trust me, man. There's some good games in this series. They're not all this bad. And I didn't know. I was
that
like,
was just a license.
Like, right, exactly. That was a nightmare. Anyway, so yes, 30 years after Fallout 2. And the whole point is they wanted to kind of go back to the original storyline. They actually, even like with Fallout 2, there was too many like inside jokes and winks and nods. And Fallout 1 kind of had that kind of true spirit of what they wanted to go for. And they are carrying it forward here. Anyway, so character development was your question. You start off in the vault. You know, you're a baby, and you see some kind of like, you know, DNA matrix kind of thing, and you select what you're going to look like when you turn 19. Mm-hmm. And depending on what you choose, that also affects what your father's going to look like. Your father is voiced by Liam Neeson in the beginning.
I always wanted him for a dad.
Me too.
Now it's coming true.
Do the faces look as disgusting as Oblivion?
No, actually, this is actually kind of surprising. It's not, they're not as nearly as, like, you know, shellacked as...
It's okay. They were disgusting.
Yeah.
They were either shellacked or monkey-like.
Yeah, that would have actually worked here because this is the world with Fallout.
Yeah, everyone's
everyone's mutated.
Mutant. Yeah. Look, well, I'm a shellacked monkey face. In the future.
Why is everyone so greasy? No one showers. No, anyway, so basically they slowly introduce you to concepts. You kind of flash forward to you're a toddler, and they teach you the basics of WASD and operating things in the environment. You flash forward again to your 10th birthday.
So do you, at that part, sorry to interrupt,
yeah, sure.
You're actually controlling? I mean, is it, you know, like the sequence that works so well in Half-Life 2 where you learn to use the gravity gun by playing with Dog? I mean, does it work like that? Where when you're saying you're learning, you know.
Well, again, this is all kind of like, this is the part of the thing they didn't actually show us. They kind of show us the tail end of it. So I'm kind of like, this is what Todd Howard told me.
I think you're asking,
are they walking you through
it? Yeah, is it just throwing like a bunch of video material?
Or are you
walking around and you're learning to use, you know, your Pip-Boy 3000?
That's
stuff
exactly
by playing in this enclosed environment in the shelter.
Well, that's exactly mm-hmm. it. So like I was going to say, so actually that was the next thing was you're, on your 10th birthday, you get your Pip-Boy. Your father gives you your Pip-Boy and a BB gun, and you go around and you can just shoot things with your BB gun, and mm-hmm. you learn and you goof around with the Pip-Boy, and it's apparently going to be all in game.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty damn cool.
Right, I think so too.
I mean, just for an organic way to
it's clever, a way
to introduce your moveset that has some continuity in your life.
Exactly,
that goes beyond. Mm-hmm. Here you are in the training section, and the guy just keeps saying, try the M16 carbine. Fire at 3 targets and move on. And then you like you keep shooting it, and for some reason, try the M16 carbine. And you turn around and start shooting him in the face.
Then there's the other convention of like an RPG where it's like, you have been spending the past 19 years of your life, and now you're ready to move out. It's like, okay, thank you for telling me all that. I'd like to have seen
the console RPGs. As the text comes on the screen. Like, fuck, there's people out there that swear that story is engaging in some way. Sorry, guys. It's not.
So on your 16th birthday in the game, you take an aptitude test, which basically determines your kind of the class and skills you'll mm-hmm. kind of start with in the game. Kind of reminds me of like, at least how they're describing it, kind of reminds me of like way back in the Ultima series.
Like the Ultima 4?
Exactly.
So it's like a morality test?
That's still kind of, again, I haven't...
We don't know.
Probably with some sort of Fallout spin.
Exactly. Hey, but all that matters is they still have the perks and the skills.
So are they? Is it the special system that's all caps special? Are they using that? Do we know?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I brought a checklist of all the little things
fantastic.
I actually came prepared. What about that, huh?
That's special.
Ain't that special.
Are you playing dumb for the podcast, or did you not?
No, I didn't know that. I mean,
he edited the damn preview.
That was like 2 weeks ago, and I have short-term memory loss. Might as well have been 10 years ago.
Yeah. All right.
What's Fallout 3?
It's okay. Tell us about the time the guy in the airport, you asked him if he...
Hey, shut up.
I ever tell you the story...
All right, so let me get into the game proper and just kind of like start setting the mood. The stuff that I kind of felt really kind of indicated they got the humor, and I'll try to breeze through some of this. I know I'm probably rambling. All right, so you get
invited the ramble.
Okay, you did. You walk out of the vault because your mission, your father runs away for some reason. He's missing. You got to figure out what happened to him. So you're
Liam Neeson. You mean
Liam Neeson? Your dad. You have a deadbeat dad. So anyways, so you got to go chase him. Figure out what's up.
Expensive. That's why.
So you leave the vault for the first time in your life, and they really like the one thing that like Sean Malloy and I were talking about beforehand when we saw the demo, the trailer, was I really hope they have that moment when you leave that first dungeon. And you kind of walk out in the world and you go, holy crap, it's all there.
It sounds exactly the same. You come out of the vault.
That's exactly it. And the thing is, it has that kind of humor. So, like, as you come out of the vault, you know, you can see, like, there's, like, a half-dangling sign, a road sign that's a scenic overview. And you look out, and it's, like, all, like, you know, sandblasted wasteland. Yeah.
Is that not unlike exactly what Oblivion did?
That's exactly it.
I mean, Oblivion puts you in that. You know, you're in that underground tunnel under the jail.
It's almost their signature thing, I guess.
And then you come out into the world, right?
True.
Yeah, so they kind of, I mean, it follows that same kind of pattern. But, I think it still works.
Mm-hmm.
And so it leads you through the world, and you can, and it's very open-ended. From the very beginning, you walk into a town, and you have the option to help a guy. Like, you walk into, like, one of the first, the town they showed us, Megaton. There's a huge unexploded atom bomb in the middle of the city. Some guys are worshiping it. Some guys are just kind of like walking by, like, oh, there it is again. And the sheriff, if you opt to help the sheriff, you can disarm it and be a hero. You can kill the sheriff, take his outfit, and you can be the new sheriff and mayor. You can there's one guy in town that wants you to detonate the bomb because they consider the Megaton too much competition for another faction.
Mm-hmm.
So early on in the game, you can totally nuke an entire city, and that's kind of what they did, and just to show like the variety of things you can do.
And that's so much in the spirit of the way Fallout was.
Yeah.
And
that's
what was so awesome about
Fallout.
If you never played that RPG, it's really one of the ones where you could do whatever you wanted in that game. I mean, the moral compass, it was totally up to you. You could kill every single NPC in that game if you wanted to.
And your
action would have consequences.
And that was the cool part. And it looks like, they really are kind of like keeping the spirit of the game alive.
Mm-hmm.
And they really are paying a lot of attention. And definitely the humor is there. Like there's one weapon that I kind of clung to that I thought was pretty funny. Is like, so there's this thing called the Fat Man. It launches, it's a personal nuke launcher.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fighting a super mutant. They're fighting a super mutant. They shoot this thing off, and it creates a small mushroom cloud that incinerates this guy. And then when he's ready to fire another one, there's like a little like the ding. There's like a turkey's done timer goes off, and like the next round's loaded. Uh-huh. It's like subtle stuff like that.
Right.
So many diversion. But, so many games like RPGs, like tout that. You know, hey, any action you do will completely change the world.
Right. It's
this faction's going to be completely different if you do this. And it's like. I've been doing that forever. Just stop railing on that as like
it's just become
as a USP,
point.
Right?
I mean, you pointed out in a story recently, Sean. It's good, Amy, because you know we're always privately clowning on it. But when we see a game demo or something, PR, the developer's always insisting that there's a lack of repeatability. You know, this is going to happen. This is different every time you play.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where you're saying that because this barrel, because physics are operating on this barrel, and it just means it's going to, like, it might fall over to the right and blow up, or it could fall backwards and blow up, or it could just wobble and stay there and then blow up.
Yeah, but it's infinitely replayable.
But then they say that, and then you're just supposed to write that down, like, okay, different shit every time I play, every time
For
I play.
For example,
and then, like,
barrel.
You know, the guy, would you shoot a guy, you know, he could fall forward or back. All right, I hear you, different shit every
it's
time
totally
I play.
Totally different. Yeah.
But that doesn't entirely relate to
no. That's
Fallout.
The extreme.
No, that's the extreme case. Extreme. Yeah,
people understand that it was an attractive list for your feature set.
Yeah, it is a good USP.
And just took it to ridiculous lengths, and now call everything that doesn't operate. In
every time
the
that's
same way.
That's uttered, I have to treat it. With
you're right. I mean, you're right. It is one of those things that's sort of. It's
that's
like,
why you need an example. Like, well, you decided. Well, just okay. See, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, they aren't saying infinite replayability, but they are saying that you could definitely see a cause and effect to what you do because, for example, if you blow up Megaton early in the game, that city is wiped off the map and there's no going back to it. So all the missions that were part of that are just out.
Right. In over a decade of playing RPGs, well over a decade. Sadly, more like two decades. Fallout's one of the only ones that I played more than once simply because I wanted to see how it would play out differently if I tried a different way. Mm-hmm. And it plays out totally differently, not just like a little bit differently. Like, you know, okay, so the cutscene changes to this at the end if you do this. You know, it's it, it you know, it was practically like two different games, the two ways I played it.
And it was text-based, so you didn't get the problem you do with the audio ones where it's like, hey, I know you. You're the guy who blew up my town. They just like,
well, no, actually,
changed that in there real quick.
Like a Mad Libs. Yeah.
Well, actually, that was one of the first games that had voice. That was one of the first games that
It did that?
Yeah, well, I mean,
but it wasn't like that.
It wasn't like that. It had like one line. It had like the like you click on them and like the first the opening line of text.
Yeah, they would read like one line.
Yeah,
but then the rest would just be text based.
Yeah, that's right. Let me see. Okay, so other thing. Welcome to.
That's the worst ever is Armed Assault, because they'll have like pre-recorded dialogue that some of the characters will say. So like example in training or a mission. You know, one of your sergeants is talking to you, and he'll just have this one gruff voice. And then they have the other spontaneously generated stuff, but the same character will go back and forth between it. So you could get like, hey, sergeant, get your ass in that Humvee. And then all of a sudden he's like, two clicks to the left, south. East, and then he comes back out and he starts yelling at you. You're like, what the fuck's going on?
It's like Joe Montana from Genesis. Joe Montana, Real Sports from Genesis. Or whatever the fuck.
I've been shot in the arm.
I'm not going to retell it because I've told it a million times, but the best ever, I'll just point you to the right direction, is, of course, wrestling games. And then the same audio engine from the wrestling game that was used in WWE Crush Hour. Check it out. You want an audio treat.
All right, so I'll just wrap this up really quick. There's two other things that... I wanted to mention. First of all, weapons degrade in the game, so you actually it definitely conveys that sense you have to scavenge for parts. So like you can't field strip a pistol and like slap the shells into an assault rifle. You have to look for an assault rifle and kind of take the best pieces and put them together and it actually affects how you shoot. Now, that's the last thing. This is a first person shooter, but it also pays tribute to the original turn based tactics of the first games. Mm-hmm. So this is the part that I think is really cool, and like this is the part I was probably the most skeptical about until I saw it in action, is that you can play it as a first-person shooter, and there's this little meter for action points in the lower right corner. You hit, they show the game on the 360, so they actually they were showing it with a gamepad. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they hit one of the buttons on it, and it freezes time, and it shows your perception levels, and just like the old game where you can say, okay, I want to try to snap a headshot or shoot an arm or shoot the weapon out of his hand or whatever, it gives you percentages for each part of his body you want to hit.
And it would cost more action points depending on what you wanted to do.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
And so you pull off that turn-based like shot, and it's just like the old game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back to real time and you can just keep shooting, and then the action points slowly regenerate according to one of your stats.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was a really smart implementation that kind of like, you know, it adds something new to the genre that it's kind of like a nod back to the old days. Kind of reminds me. I'm sorry.
You're in real time shooting stuff, can you still pull off a headshot without?
It isn't nearly as accurate. I mean, that's strictly skill based at that point. So it's going to be a lot tougher. You got to like
aim.
You have to actually. Well, I mean, like aim down and like.
But they're probably throwing a randomizer on your shot fall too, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Right. Well, I mean, like let's say for example, like your weapon is in disrepair, or at least it's not in like top working order.
That's basically how Stalker worked,
Yeah.
So you have a weapon that's like 95% degraded. You could have your crosshair like in someone's eye and not hit them.
And not hit them.
Okay. Yeah, because it's throwing randomized inaccuracy on there to reflect the damage.
Okay. Right, but you have the option to fix the weapon. And I really do like this being able to stop time thing, because technically, if I really wanted to, I could play it like the old games technically, but from a first-person perspective. Or actually, there's also a chase cam, so you could do it for those who really give a crap about the paper doll effect and seeing their guy with all their cool gear. Mm-hmm. You can play the entire game from third person.
Too. Awesome.
Well, this is...
okay, Ryan's going to play now.
That freezing time thing is really how KOTOR worked. Too, isn't it?
I mean, it was kind of like the invisible strategy stuff. I mean, you could just let the game run.
Right. You could just play KOTOR. You could just go into any battle in real time.
Yeah.
But at any point, you could hit the space bar and freeze it and plan out your moves.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, that's even how Baldur's Gate worked. So.
Yep.
Well, Baldur's Gate. Right. Sure. I guess all those Black Isle games.
And word is, when you say third person and you think Bethesda, you think Oblivion, you're like, okay, it was there.
But yeah,
it didn't need to be because it was ridiculous. You weren't going to be doing it. But you're insisting that... They're learning from that experience.
Absolutely,
making it. I mean, from what I've heard, they insist that it's entirely playable from that perspective, and it's not going to be like Oblivion, where third person was when you wanted to see what it looked like when you jumped off the highest cliff you could find,
or you wanted to see your horse.
Yeah,
and I bought armor. This armor. Damn it!
No, but overall, I mean, it's still a year and a half away, I think, and it's looking great so far. I mean, this little bit they've shown, I mean, it shows a lot of the potential for where the series was. And
well, they got a big legacy to live up to. That's
absolutely
one they don't want to fuck up. And we'll be seeing it over at E3 next week.
Yeah,
yeah,
Who's going from us to check it out?
Yeah.
You guys should. I was gonna say.
I want to.
Whoever hasn't, you definitely should check it out. If you have the time.
I'm just going with the winds.
I don't understand how E3
works. We don't even
know
what's happening.
Yeah, neither do I. Don't even get me started on that. Yeah,
it's like a dude going to a wedding. Like, I can guarantee that my body's there.
Just tell me when to be there. Exactly. I'll go.
Where to sit.
Right. Do I need to bring a gift? Fine. Can I just write a check?
Right. What am I need someone to hold my hand. And
do I have to wear a tie?
Exactly. Yeah. Is this casual or...
Yeah, fuck E3. Yeah.
Fuck it and its fucking ear.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Special
now,
message to whoever organized E3 this year. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you for ruining our lives this year.
We're going to.
Yeah. Thanks. You owe me big time.
I'll save the insurgency talk for later. But yeah. Darren pointed out we've got an excellent transition. Let's not miss it while we're on the subject of E3.
Okay.
We got ourselves a hero of the web.
Awesome. Woo! So we'll read this hero and then we'll take a break.
And this one's even got a title. It's called Gauging E3's Rebirth. And it goes a little something like this.
Hit it.
While the E3 format of last year is official dead, along with scads of amazingly attractive women, especially the Nintendo booth, to the scantily clad booth bay pimping games like Driver brings a tear of loss to the eye. Going through the schedules and listening to press people talk about the show has helped to change my perspective. This year, with added security by allowing PR people to verify media types, there's still a lot going on, and I think that the Game Daily staff will be able to deliver better stories with more detail, simply because the crazy background noise or half-clothed booth babe won't distract from what you deserve to know more about. With any show, there are negatives. Smaller developers aren't respected, and the EIEIO show happens at the nearby Hotel California to help pick up the slack.
E-I-E-I-O.
And by knowing Gamecock's Mike Wilson, there will be a touch of the former show that will employ former booth babes. I'll still reserve final judgment until the show starts in Santa Monica. Yet from the emails, voicemails, phone calls, and the juggling of schedules, the glitz, glam, and luster may have been gleaned from the teeth of E3. But the meat of the spirit of the show is now made bare and ready to show gamers what the next few years will bring. As our group's former guidance counselor of sorts was often known for yelling, "Game on!" Game on! So,
game on. Game on.
That's
game
a first.
On, gamer.
It's a first. I hate it. I obviously didn't hate to do it, but that we've ever done something that didn't come from just a message board, but it was actually an official story on a Game Press website.
Yeah. So let's zero in on that one phrase
mail,
that we love.
Like, I mean, do we excuse it? Just the fact that this... It shouldn't be up there, man. It's not
doing
you a favor.
You shouldn't be writing phrases like...
It's not doing us a favor. It's not doing anyone.
The meat of the spirit of the show. That's a phrase you don't want to be using.
Don't forget the last part. Made bare.
Made bare.
So, I mean...
Let's strike that
Even if we chill on that comment for a moment...
You could parse
one,
it word
I mean,
by
halfway
word.
There, I'm like, come on, Jeff, bare your meat. Bare your meat. Come on, dog. And then I'm
Are
like...
Are you asking me to bare my meat?
Bear the spirit of your meat for me. Bear the spirit of your meat.
That's harassment, and I like it.
So, that's why I'm striking through meat. Well, not only saying it, but we've got like this whiteboard in Jeff's office. I actually wrote on it with permanent marker.
Yeah, you did.
You were mad, but that's fine.
I cleaned
the stuff
sense.
That's banned.
Hey, it's a permanent
but
ban.
It's not just here. It appears everywhere. If you're listening, again, just look for it. It's meaty components or the meat and potatoes of this game and a meaty experience, and there's more meat to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the fucking sausage factory after a while. You know, are you talking about games or are you talking about the delicatessen?
Right. So what are some other banned phrases? Well, we know gaming goodness.
We've got a lot. Let's not reveal them all because there's quite a few.
We don't want to tip
there.
Our hand just yet.
But no, I mean, even like perfectly good words become problematic after a while. Compelling, say, for example, gets overused.
Yeah.
And
Epic.
What happens is it's eventually used
stunning 3D
so
graphics.
Many times that even when it's used in the appropriate circumstance, it no longer means much of anything
totally
to the audience because I've heard this so many times. It's like, you know, I've talked about before, The review blurbs for the Shaq movies, Kazam and Steel, both said fun. That was the only quote on there. It's like at that point, that means absolutely nothing
anymore.
Gone. It doesn't even mean it's fun. So instead of saying compelling, like, you know, I'll tell our writers, well, show me it's compelling. You know,
right.
Like just talk about what is it about this game that's compelling, and then you don't have to stop and say it is because you've already proved it, you know,
right.
Or you've already made a strong case for it. So that's another example. And then there's the completely ridiculous stuff. It appears every month, but
slick visuals, crisp audio, yeah, tight controls,
and variations on
ratcheting up the visuals on level 3.
So variations on Lions, Tigers, and Bears. Oh my! So X, yeah, Y, yeah, and Z. Yeah, oh my! Yeah. And this is funny because I remember the first week when I started EGM so many years ago, an email went around clowning on that. It was like, oh, God, like someone else did it again.
Something, oh, my.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like to this day, I mean, it was in some headlines for
Elves and Dwarves and Goblins. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one was in our Mech Addict style guide has never used this. Like it was officially in the style guide.
I mean, that's beyond. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you shouldn't even have to tell someone, but you will still see it over and over again.
View to a Kill we took out. That was never, you can't have that caption ever again for a screenshot.
Yeah.
Get it? It's a view to a kill.
And, like the James Bond movie.
Right.
It's just about knowing that, I mean, especially with an enthusiast audience, they're absorbing so much of the stuff. And if you are just relying...
One to watch for in the mainstream press, whenever there's a mainstream press article on games, every other headline is going to be, let the games begin. Every time I fucking see it, I want to toss whatever I'm reading, whether it's Time Magazine, whatever it is. Like, come up with a different one.
Goodness.
They've already begun.
So, slash sigh.
There is something else to note on here, the web, is that there was a comment listed under the story.
Yeah.
Was that Herping Jerp?
And Herping Jerp said, as our group's former... Well, no, he didn't say it. Actually, I pasted the wrong thing. Let's see from memory. It said... That further proof, further evidence.
Yeah, it's here.
Oh, you've got, okay, here we go. Proof positive that Take Your Child to Work Day is a national tragedy was the...
The reason that you read this and that we're zeroing in on this is that this was at a gaming website, and it is, you might not be able to tell because you need the punctuation and everything to see it. This is like semi-fucking literate.
No, it's definitely is. It's frustrating because, you know, everyone, I get PMs like, hey, how do you... what do I need to do if I want to write about games? I want to do what you do. And after a while, you know, I start off and I tell them things. But then I was like, same thing I'm going to tell you if you're asking to work at Jack in the Box. You know, like, don't murder nobody. And if you murdered somebody, then get your fucking record sealed.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're in.
Otherwise, you're good.
Welcome to the club, buddy.
Comatose problem. Not so comatose.
Yeah, I mean, the very first fucking phrase of this... story. While the E3 format of last year is official dead. That's not even English.
That's not, but if you go...
Proofread.
But if you go to the next part, too, it's like, along with scads of amazingly attractive woman, and that's singular, but then especially the Nintendo booth. So the way that that's constructed means that the Nintendo booth is an amazingly attractive woman.
Right.
And
also, yeah, I mean, Sean, also take out the clause in the middle, where because he then you realize that he's lost it. If you take out the clause and try to read it as a straight sentence,
while the
E3 format of last year is official dead,
going
brings a tear of loss to the eye.
Yeah.
At this point,
see, the sentence doesn't even follow.
No, it doesn't.
It's just, I mean,
what a bunch of jackals we are! Holy crap!
Well,
the point is not just.
Yeah.
We're not just trying to rip on one site. The point is, this shit is all over the industry, and then the gaming press is like doing this whole like navel gazing, like, how come no one takes us seriously? Because you don't deserve it. This is like fucking third grade writing.
It's like, yeah, there's like, if you get...
This
you
is
know,
embarrassing.
Wonder, if the joke is that if the work, we farm our work from high schools, I mean, we found some way to circumvent child labor laws and we're
not
now
even
in
high
the
school,
junior
man.
Highs. Yeah, well, yeah.
This is like someone like wrote it with crayon at first.
Yeah.
Yeah, now if I go like tell someone I'm in the game industry, and this is what they know, they're just like,
true.
The game journal was in business.
Not like we'll fess up. We fuck up.
Totally.
There's plenty of shit I've written. I'd be embarrassed if someone held it up and said, hey,
mistakes.
Remember when you wrote this? Unfortunately, I do.
Yeah.
But I'll own up to it, you know?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
And I guarantee I never wrote anything like that, though.
Right. It is the internet. You can go change it.
All right, let's get a break.
And we'll take a break and see who else we can rip on when we come back. Yeah.
We need it.
Next, we turn on Ryan.
Okay.
We're so mean.
We'll be right back with more hate.
This One Up podcast is brought to you by Windows Media Center. Your Xbox 360, your music, your photos, your TV shows, and your videos with one connection.
Hi.
One last thing on this bad video game journalism thing is that I think, you know, definitely we've printed bad things, and we've probably all written bad things, or I know we have, that have been printed. But I think the big difference here is that when we get the really bad ones that are illiterate, we don't print them. We keep them here, and we laugh amongst ourselves to each other. Yeah, we have them in special folders that we bring out and read to each other. Hey, remember this?
Or in some cases, we rewrite them.
And then print them.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, let's move on.
Okay, I thought you were going to drop us some classic quotes from the...
From our classic
ever, but
yeah. Right, there was one that sort of
we need set it in front of us a lot. We should do that next show.
Okay, well that's what we'll do.
Stay tuned.
We're going to do Heroes of the Web of one of our own. Well, it was CGW at the time. One of our own magazine articles before it got edited. Okay, we'll do that.
It was a classic,
and you'll hear some more examples of bad video game writing from our own publication.
I got to remember the whole I have the whole pantomime routine for it about beating down the competition and lifting up the. Right. I'm doing Pentecostal singing
get
a song.
Videos guys in here.
Okay, so in the interest of fairness, next week we will make fun of ourselves. Okay. We're not complete pompous.
Actually, I have an awesome tech feature that falls exactly in that category. I need to rewrite the entire story from scratch.
Excellent. All right. And so more bad writing next week from our own coffers, as
right.
it were.
Yeah.
All right. Next up on the list, Sean Elliott's going to talk about insurgency.
Okay. I don't know. That was some weird sort of Catherine Hepburn.
Hip.
Are you being pompous?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's as I said, it's a source mod. It just came out yesterday. It's been in development for I know at least a year. I'm thinking 2 years. And
who made it?
Insurgency Mod Team.
Okay.
So I actually think that's the name. Yeah.
It's okay.
Insurgency. So actually, refresh my memory. Which one is this?
This is. It's another shooty shooty bang bang. It's set in contemporary Iraq, and although there's some issues there because you know there's still big pictures of it's called Insurgency, but there's still big banners of Saddam up and stuff in the city. It's
because it's been taking a
little
while
bit to... of a chronological problem there, but it is set. And interestingly, of course, that's a setting that no real developer's going to touch. We just were talking to the guys making COD Modern Warfare, and I was asking about the realism of their locations and stuff. But just because I was kind of waiting to, it was kind of baiting them to see what they had to say about where Middle East is concerned. And as I suspected, if it's in Russia, if the environment's anywhere else, exactly, based on our photos and real places and stuff. As soon as it comes to the Middle East, we won't even name a country.
Right.
It's it's either a Central Asian or a Middle Eastern locale.
It's Dirkistan.
You'll notice if you watch last season of 24, the bad guy, the Middle Eastern bad guys, not once in the entire season do they name the country.
Do they?
They always say your country,
Arabic, or do they?
They do. They're clearly Arabic, but whenever it's referred to, and I listened for it closely, it was always in their country, in your country. They never actually named it.
So. So unlike that, yes, why? And they say, for sensitivity and stuff, that's a whole another political argument we don't need to get into. But so interestingly for a mod, it is set in that environment. And it's called a realism mod, which basically means you walk slow and single shots kill. But, it's actually pretty fun. I mean, the first thing you notice is it looks so good, especially for a mod team. It would look very presentable if it were a retail game that were released right now in today's landscape, against competition. The mapping, the environments are great. The weapon models are phenomenal. I mean, just entirely professional. Game itself, there's really not too much. It's all about the application of your tactics and team play and stuff. But it's still fun. I mean, I like going through. It's not too frustrating. Because the spawn, it's not like Counter-Strike where if you die and you will die quick, you have to wait out the rest of the match. You just have to wait for a while. But to the pursuit of realism, you don't even get an indication that you killed someone other than the physical, appearance of them falling over. So if you're fighting someone at range across a city square or something and you drop them, they might just disappear from the window and you really don't know. You have to wait till the end of the round to confirm the kill because, of course, in real life, you're not going to – nothing's going to appear on your goggles that says good job, you know. So
your frag count doesn't go up.
Yeah, so that's interesting. But then, of course, if you're at close range and you see him going down, you know, it's not saying anything, but you know damn well like that you're at the end of the round, you know, it's going to be calculated. It's just all about moving as a group, working as a group. And it's intense because when you know that that lethality's there and you get to the where you're afraid, you're always using the lean-to keys, which while that's an option in a lot of games, it's an option in Quake Wars. I almost never use them. Here, use them all the time. Just extreme caution, different pacing. But even, you know, I haven't played quite enough. I played it for, you know, all of last evening. Not quite enough to make any kind of really strongly evaluative statements about it. But the interesting thing that I did want to comment is the strength of the mod scene that its release has indicated, because downloading this thing was a nightmare. I mean, all of File Planet servers are just packed, you know, and that's a problem too, because they will sometimes, you know that they're, I was going to say, I suspect that they're lying with the numbers of people that are queued up, but I know that they're lying because I've had to wait for the most random things that I can assure you there's not another single person in the world in line for that, you know, and it, all of a sudden it makes me wait for 10 minutes. But all the other servers, all the other people, the torrents and every other option, it was just crazy, just huge waits. And then once I got the game installed and you look at the server list, it's like, keep scrolling. You're like, damn, is this going to quit pinging servers? No, it's not. It just keeps going and going. And night and day, we're messing around with Call of War's multiplayer in the office the other day, and it's like, what, you know, six servers that were not based in, you know, Techland servers from Eastern Europe,
right,
with pings that are, you know, over 180, and everyone's in there playing, talking about it and stuff, and it's just cool to see that, you know, the good mods are fewer and farther between, but I mean, there's definitely an audience. I mean, if you took the time, although they spent all that time, it's paying off now because a lot of people are talking about and playing their game.
Mm-hmm. Well, this reminds me of Desert Combat in a way.
Absolutely.
Just the way you're describing it.
Right, where it's just huge, yeah. So it's good. I don't know. It always makes me happy to see it because, you know, like, there have been some really ballsy mods to come out using this engine in the past year, and they've just completely, like, vanished into obscurity. And that's part of the thing, too. You know, like when I'm describing Insurgency, how it's fundamentally a very simple game. Mm-hmm. It's very straightforward. It's like, hey, you guys, you can choose between these types of firearms, and then you basically go out and take some territory and kill the enemy team. Then you had something like Insect Infestation, which is just phenomenally innovative, and it's got about like 3 weeks lifespan before the last server dries up and no one's there anymore. You know, I mean, that's almost a problem when you get two. And even Dystopia is a really great mod, but because of the complexity of it, you know, and the game within a game where, you know, you pick a class that can hack and then you go to a computer terminal and then suddenly you're in cyberspace moving around and doing things there. I think it's prohibitive for a lot of people for whatever reason, you know.
They should have called that game Shadowrun.
Bring this back, you know, like, yeah, well, Shadowrun, yeah, because, you know, Mitch from Fastest Studio was on the OXM podcast last week or something and just, you know, saying that this is Shadowrun is, you know, one of the most innovative games ever made, and then basically hanging the future of innovation in this space on his game. You know, so say right. If you guys don't buy this game, that's it. It's done.
Innovation is dead.
Innovation is dead. And, you know, I honestly don't know why those guys didn't call him on it when it's like, you know, we're just throwing that. I wasn't even thinking about it, but yeah, like Insect Infestation, it's like there's like a bunch, you know, pheromone trails, deployables, the same thing. You just, instead of creating an ogre that chases crap down, you create a mushroom that shoots like crazy fungus out and does stuff. And even Quake Wars. I mean, there's far more tactical variety in that game. And just the kind of historical ignorance it requires to say that anyway. I mean, again, it's like over and over again, but because it is the foundation for all PC shootings, Team Fortress. Go back to it. At least play that before you start making certain claims, you know. I mean, gliders and stuff. I mean, look at Tribes. I mean, all these different things.
Exactly.
And just to go, I mean, it's like, hey, I totally appreciate everything, you know, that you're doing, Mitch, and that you're saying, but, like, it's depending on your audience, you know, they're not going to just say, well, he's right. This is it. Now our only option is Insurgency.
Well, PC,
your choice is you get a game where it takes 30 shots to kill or one shot to kill, and that's it. But it's still basically that you get an M4, you get an AK-47. I mean, that's just not the case. I mean, there's so much stuff going on, and it sucks to see in any truly innovative game not perform as well as people would have hoped, you know. But
happens all the damn time, which is a
well. That was yeah. I mean, life goes history. On, and people still keep making really innovative games, and now and then they really succeed, you know.
Right. The Shadowrun was a problem for so many reasons that we don't need to go over.
Yeah.
No.
Again. Retreading.
But
I already did. I'm sorry.
Right.
No. That stuck with me, and I did want. I just wanted to bring that up again because right. just to hear some of that stuff just go unanswered. Yeah, that's pretty
well, it's a good point. On the PC, the innovation has been going on for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And the options for multiplayer shooters have been very deep mm-hmm. for years and years now.
And it's a known, and even like, you know, Dark Messiah of Might and Magic multiplayer. Mm-hmm. I mean, almost to the point where there's like a 1-to-1 ratio of stuff. The brambles in there, they're brambles. They're just made of organic vines instead of crystals, you know. Mm-hmm. But it is hard. It's like the more complex and, you know, innovative your game is, the harder it is to sell most of the time. But
that catch 22.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's to
yeah.
fearing change.
So what's up, Ryan? You got a lot to say. How are you going to do three podcasts, man? You're using up all your good
He's saving himself for the other two. And he's busy eating his frickin' fruit snacks here.
Ryan, like...
Yeah, damn you and your fruit snacks.
At some point, we're going to reveal, like, Ryan is, like, just, like, an imaginary friend we have. Talk about him. We had all these attributes. He likes fruit snacks, and... Because I was just, like, about to tell the story of, you know, when I went to go get my lunch, Ryan, you give me $2, and you're like, can you get me 8 quarters? It's like, why? We can get 2 bags of fruit snacks.
Oh, is this what you're on now? The fruit snacks?
Hell yeah.
For a while, it was the Rice Krispie Treats.
But they didn't have fruit snacks before, so...
Oh, so you've switched?
Yeah.
Snuffleupagus.
There was a sticker on the machine. Why don't you tell us about that note you put for the snack guy?
It said, more fruit snacks, please.
It was in all caps and had an exclamation on it, though.
And it
so
said,
has he finally
please,
come
like,
back?
PLZ.
Has he visited us again?
He did.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to put a note on there that just said, snack guy, why hast thee forsaken us? Because he's been gone for like 2 weeks.
He has.
The machine's been empty.
That thing was vacant. And
snack
it
machine guy.
Empty.
Snack machine guy, if you're listening to this.
Here's to you,
the snack machine
guy.
Is not taking dollars. It's only taking change.
That's, still?
If you could just please fix that, we'd all be very happy.
Yeah, I'm sure he's listening.
He might, you know.
You never know.
How are really we doing not. On time? Can we talk about some of our E3 predictions?
We haven't done any E3 predictions.
I predict the E3.
I predicted
it's going to suck balls. That's my prediction.
Well. I predicted you were going to say that.
You guys stole mine.
Yeah. Okay, what if I said it's going to be great?
I predicted you were going to say that. That's
I was going to say that.
Bring some Madame Cleo shit on this.
I predict I'll be hating
life. Is there really
life.
More to say?
Well, yeah, there's, I mean, okay. People want to know, like...
What's going to be game of the show?
No,
gives
but
shit.
Come on, it's like, what are we going to see? Is it going to wheel out their, you know, Carmack's new game? Are we going to, you know, Spore going to, we're going to find out it's not coming out to 2009? What about other surprises, you know, when everyone's like, eh?
I don't even, who's going to be there? I don't even know.
You're such a hater, man. You're so down.
You know what?
I'm sorry.
Actually, the one
I
thing...
I love it.
Is that better?
I can't wait.
No, but, you know...
I can't wait to see what booth babes are there.
I don't know. I don't think the number of, like, new announcements is going to be real high.
Yeah.
My prediction is that this is the end of E3.
You think? You think we're going to get back from this and everyone's going
to... I don't think so. In this age when, like...
A billion shows?
I mean, in, you know, the... I'm trying to do this without naming names, but just basically where mass media conglomerates are owning all games coverage and stuff, mm-hmm. this stuff is perfect for it, you know?
I'd rather they
like
go back to the
we already got that
world.
Notice today about
Never
some other,
myself say that,
about right. another, what we understand as a to be, to play the function of the press, yeah. offering to inform
that's
us
right.
and everyone else about what was going on
yeah,
in case we miss it. You know,
yeah, that's
I mean,
right.
this kind of environment is absolutely ideal, I think, for peddling controlled messages and to the maximum number of, you know, mm-hmm. just getting it everywhere and over again.
I'd really,
I mean,
they just rather go back to the
old phenomenal success, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, the thing is, like,
we'll see the alternative now.
We're all saying, oh, man, this is going to suck because it's spread out all across the city and
the
multiple
yeah,
hotels,
think about the market you work in now.
Yeah, if you're looking at it from, like, okay, the consumer's getting the message.
Yeah.
Then suddenly, you know, who cares what we think about it?
You're right. It's only a pain in the ass. Well, you know, every industry person we've talked to, though, too, right? Like you and I, yes, Sean and I yesterday were on a trip that we have to wait to talk about. But they were all bitching about E3. This was the developers. Mm-hmm. They were all bitching about it, too.
Well, they all bitch about it anyway.
They always have.
Yeah.
They always have. But this year in particular, they're saying they don't get it either. Nobody gets it.
But it's still happening.
It is still happening.
And there will still be...
And we'll be there to cover it. In
I don't see what, why... I honestly don't know why we don't get... What's there not to get? It's like, okay, before you have a massive... It's like before if you're going to a casino, right? And say you're, as a developer or something, you've got one of the slot machines in there.
Okay.
And you're competing against... And you have people that go in and write about slot machines for a living come in.
Right.
And there's a billion lights and sounds and people rubbing the screens and people who like think they're on a streak and are too lazy to get up and take a piss or they pee in their pants on the stool. Do you want to put your thing? I have a friend that works in a casino, so that's a real story. All someone right. actually rolled a deuce out their pant leg.
Oh, come on.
But no, that's real. Sean's face is so terrified.
He's like turning green.
True that, they did.
Okay.
So, or do you want to have an environment where you've got your own, like, you know, whatever, brand X, you know, slot machines, and you can guarantee that every one of those people that writes about these is going to come into your tent, and you've got their undivided attention for a specified amount of time. Not only that, you can have a press conference before you show them the machine. Mm-hmm. You talk about the machine for an hour, then you sit them down in the machine, get them drinks, make them play it, you know. I mean, what's better? It's like a no-brainer.
You're right. From the publisher's perspective,
yeah, but so
you're
when
dead
we say
right.
we don't understand what's going on, I think that's just false.
We understand what's going on. Well, I mean,
I think you could accomplish that without spreading it to, like, because it's in like 14 different hotels or something.
Right. I mean, we're talking very insider stuff here. If you're listening and you don't know, we're going to this gaming convention next week. It's E3. For years and years and years, it's been held in, you know, a giant convention center in L.A. where all the game companies are showing their stuff under one huge room or in a couple of huge rooms, whatever. And I guess you can't really say all things are equal there because some companies are spending like tens of millions of dollars on giant booths and others have little booths. But basically, we're all under one roof. Mm-hmm. Now, this year, that all got canceled. It's in Santa Monica, and it's spread out over a whole bunch of different hotels. Over I don't know what's the range, a few miles.
It's quite a big space.
Going to involve a bunch of us like being in cabs and cars to go from one thing to the other.
Sure.
So that's the pain in the ass that we're talking about here.
At the same time, we have complained in the past about the show being so much of a circus that even as the people who are shitting our pants on the slot machines, you know, we're sorry, man. I just wanted to get all quiet for a minute. So as those people, we can have a closer, more intimate look at this stuff. And then because, you know, we're there, we're enthusiast press, we're enthusiastic to see it. But we have like a more sane, although it's going to be greater mediation, but a more sane environment to like sort of absorb what's going on. Talk to the developer. What are you doing with this? What's the goal and this and that? So that's going to work for us. It's moving around. The thing that I question, though, is when I've seen some people say that this is just going to be better than ever for smaller and the less obvious developers.
Oh, there's no way.
Yeah, you know, some people have actually, you know, posted that in stories online, and it just cracked me up because it's like, you know, now are you going to take a $20 cab to the fucking Motel 6 to go see their game?
Of course not.
Or are you more likely to go downstairs to Kentia Hall and see a whole bunch of stuff when it actually becomes great because it's like the mad scientist workshop much stuff.
Stealing your analogy from like, you know, the slot machines, like for me every year, I mean, I was the jackass roaming with Jack and Coke and looking for the slot machine in the far corner that no one else was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
You heard it had good payouts.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a loose slot.
Dude, you're all about the loose slots.
I get it.
Every year, like I would shun appointments on the main floor to go specifically to Kentia Hall because that's where you find all the really innovative, cool stuff. And
I don't know about that. When you deify the little guy to an extent, then you get like America's top inventor and every piece of shit they wheel out on there that you're trying to say is better than like whatever like GM invents.
Point is taken.
I'm not saying everything's gold, but I'm saying that a lot of the games like the IL-2 Cernovics of the world were first seen there.
Yeah, right. And they were still consistently seen there.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's all my point. And you're exactly right. Who's going to want to, like, take some $20 cab ride to wherever? And half the time you wouldn't even know it existed until you saw it.
This is just about the big guy, really.
Yeah, make no mistake. I mean, they're still going to be spending as many dollars as ever to compete for our attention and to create the most favorable impression in every
way now.
With every means they have at their disposal. So if you're a moneyed company, I mean, you've got that. It's not like the playing field's been leveled. All of a sudden, you know, everyone agreed like some kind of arms race where you can spend no more than $10,000 on your entire shindig.
Right,
your presentation, you all agree to use the exact same type of monitors or anything. It's like, I mean, yeah, those other guys are just going to be, I mean, there's going to be stuff. You're going to hear about Gamecock and all that.
Yeah,
you know,
but
you're not going to hear about.
But the sub-Gamecock guys are going to be even further marginalized.
Yeah, oh, totally.
So, I mean, that's what pisses me off because, like, these guys were, like, banking everything on someone seeing their stuff and, like, getting out there.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so much of E3 every year for us was about what are the games, whether they were big or small. Sometimes they would be the little guys, but sometimes they'd be the big guys.
Yeah.
But it'd be about what are the games that everybody's talking about, right? And that was all, you know, being under the same tent. Mm-hmm. And there would always be one or two or three that would be a total surprise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go into the show not expecting it, and then all of a sudden everybody's talking about Okami. That's what
happen.
It was 1 year. How is it going to happen this year if we're all just wandering around from
like,
fucking
we'll,
conference
we'll,
to...
You know, with the group, say, so the Ziff Davis crew will all be at the same hotel and we'll be hanging out and talking about it. You know, the GameSpot guys will be at their hotel and talking about it. And IGN and everyone, you know, the Game Informer mm-hmm. guys will be together. So it just won't be like some mass herd.
Well,
but how often
the opportunity
that happen anyway?
To actually go see whatever surprise there is, if you already haven't arranged for it, is going to be a lot harder.
Right.
That's exactly.
See, a lot of this
not
is
like
you can't.
Over here.
Right. We're getting these emails now that like, if you haven't made an appointment yet to see our game, well, you're just not going to get in.
Yeah.
So okay, well, great. So then we won't see it. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, in the old days. You could just go wander up whenever and see the game.
And we
right?
have to say, there's probably people that are listening, especially if other people in the industry are listening that work on online, they're probably like, you know, these dicks. Like, they don't know how good they got it. But because, yeah, if we worked online,
really
we would not be in a position to say, well, screw that about anything. We would have to be like, well, we've got to get that story up. We have to get every single story up that there possibly is to do here, and we'd have to do it. Because we're in print with finite pages, we do have this right. awesome position of saying, since we only have enough to run the stuff we're most interested about anyway,
yeah, so you're going to make it hard on us.
Interested,
yeah,
in.
Right. Right. I should say our counterparts here at
yeah.
at 1UP are going to be
we're going to be doing
well,
it too.
We're going to be doing it for them too,
right?
A bunch of the online coverage is being done by us, so mm-hmm. I'm being overly.
That's when everyone's going to come back and rip us.
Yeah.
They're like, "What's it? You want to see what it's like to write something in 15 minutes, like at 2 a.m.? Like we'll yeah. see.
Let's see how good your English is, right?
E3 previews don't count."
Yes.
Yeah, E3 previews don't count. Right.
I am seeing a game. This game has colors.
It's like the Mad Libs preview.
Yeah. Okay. Have we caused enough trouble for 1 week?
Yeah,
probably.
Brian?
I'm still excited.
No.
No?
We have not caused enough trouble for 1 week.
All right.
What
cause,
else? What
cause
else is
more.
Left?
Monologue for us, Ryan. You carry this one.
Gig it, man.
We should get out of here.
We should?
In. Yeah.
Okay, then we're
we
out.
We got another podcast to do.
Ryan, do you have any last words?
No.
Oh, shit. Before I go again, that intro that you guys haven't really heard, Zooted Granny from Gaming Age Forums again, once again delivered the goods, put all that work into there. Huge thanks to him. And
nice job.
And Jennifer Frank.
Oh, she did the vocals for that?
Did the vocals. And she
yep. Way
is
to go, Jen.
Probably
going to
be on Retronauts with you or something. But, yeah, she's also community manager of the 1UP Forums. So
you're here.
Big thanks to both of them.
Excellent
funny,
stuff.
Funny stuff this week.
Oh, yeah.
Hoo-yah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye
well, so, wait. Are we podcasting next week?
From the show?
From E3 or before E3.
Of, like, I think they're, like, during the show things.
Okay, we various GFW radio folks will appear on, I think 1UP Yours is the show that's officially broadcasting every day from E3 at down in L.A., and
there's going to be a rotating
cast, so I think you'll hear us there. I'm not sure if we're going to do a GFW radio itself next
week. We can get them around, too, I have, like, already some developers would love to, you know, to talk to. So if we can arrange that, that'll be rad. We'll have, you know, hopefully we'll get to hear from some other voices.
Yep.
Cool.
So you'll hear from us in some form or another over the next week. But we'll be back with a real GFW radio in 2 weeks from now.
Sounds about right.
Okay.
This 1UP podcast is brought to you by Windows Media Center. your Xbox 360, your music, your photos, your TV shows, and your videos with one connection.